It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes, Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chase, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Medem.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. The New York Giants trying to rebound from their week one loss to the Dallas Cowboys at MetLife Stadium, a second consecutive home game, and not a must win. But a game that the Giants do need, considering how tough their schedule gets, Lance. And the Bucks come to town. Greg Schiano returns home to New Jersey, where he used to teach Coach Rutgers. Bill Sheridan, the Bucks defensive coordinator, former Giants coach. Mike Sullivan, the former Giants quarterbacks coach. So a very interesting game here for the New York Giants against the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Let's not also forget DJ Ware, another big factor that could very well play a big role in this game if he is able to enter when they give Doug Martin a rest, because Ware certainly has been with the team for the last couple of seasons, knows the playbook backwards and forwards. There's a lot of Giants ties to this Tampa Bay squad, specifically in the coaching staff, but there are a couple of former players, and you have to wonder, does that give either team somewhat of an edge? I mean, Sheridan was the defensive coordinator in 2009, so he's a little bit removed. However, he is familiar with most of the players and the personnel that's still on the Giants defense. And Sullivan was just with the team and knows Eli Manning like the back of his hand because he was the quarterback's coach. Prior to that, worked with the wide receivers and was even with Tom Coughlin for a little bit in Jacksonville. So, you know, these guys are very familiar with the Giants program, their philosophy. And Greg Schiano even alluded to that during his conference call earlier this week, John. He would be stupid not to lean on them a little bit and get their ears and get their voices on what to expect on both sides of the football from the Giants.
And Eli Manning spoke about it earlier in the week, how the Giants really had to change some of their audibles and some of their cadence and some of their, you know, line calls, because that's stuff that Mike Sullivan could bring over. And that could give the Bucks some measure of advantage. But look, as much as the Bucks know the Giants, that also means the Giants then know the Bucks, because Mike Sullivan basically installed the Giants' offense. Now, Bill Sheridan, not so much. He's running Greg Schiano's defense, so it's really not that similar to what the Giants used to do here. But the point being, Lance...
But he knows the Giants' offense from going up against them in practice.
Exactly. So I think these things will kind of balance themselves out at the end, but I think it will, considering how all these teams know each other, lend this game to be closer than some might think, and it might, you know, be a one-score game late, despite the fact that the Bucks were one of the worst teams in the league last year and the Giants won the Super Bowl. I don't think the gap talent-wise is that big.
This is a completely different Bucks team. I mean, right. You really should throw last year's stats out the window. They revamped the defense. They added some youth. They went out, were big players in free agency. You know, Vincent Jackson wasn't on this team last year. Carl Nix, their new guard to help protect Josh Freeman, he's brand new. You know, they really added a couple of new weapons. Doug Martin, the rookie that they've invested a lot in, and certainly threw him into the mix immediately. This is a completely different squad. So this is not the team that lost 10 in a row. This is not the team that Raheem Morris helped shape. It's a brand new culture that Greg Schiano has instilled, and we certainly saw that last week against the Carolina Panthers. I mean, if anything is impressive to take away from that game last week, Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers had the 7th best rushing attack in the league last season. They held him to 4 yards.
And
they
overall
held the team
10 yards.
To 10.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that wrap things up and says it all?
It does. And the Bucks, as you mentioned, are a very different team. We are taking your calls, by the way, at 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, you can send in your questions to hashtag GiantsChat. All right, Lance, let's start then with the Bucks offense. Last year, they were second in the league in giveaways. They were worse than plus minus. I think they were minus 16 in terms of turnover ratio. And when you take a look at it, this year they seem to be focused on a much more conservative style of offense. Granted, it's only been one regular season game, but they ran Doug Martin an awful lot. They're taking the ball to a certain extent out of the hands of Josh Freeman. Much quicker throws, much shorter throws. Don't take the type of chances you were last season. Don't give the ball away as much. Last year, Josh Freeman led all NFL quarterbacks with, I believe, 28 giveaways, 23 picks, 5 fumbles lost. So it seems like they're really trying to win the time of possession battle, move the ball on the ground, and kind of play like old school Giants football from like the early 90s with O.J. Anderson and Phil Sims.
If you're Tampa Bay, you're certainly looking at the tape from the Dallas game. Tony Romo got rid of the ball very quickly, and a lot of it was off of those slant routes. So look for Tampa Bay to try to at least mimic it to see if the Giants have corrected that with respect to their playbook. The other thing that was noticeable from last week's performance against the Carolina Panthers, a lot of third and manageables, John.
That's when you run the ball well.
Yeah, obviously that was because of the effectiveness that Martin had on the ground. Longest they had was a third and 11 and a third and 12. After that, it was third and 7 or less.
Wow.
So that says a lot about the efficiency of the offense, and you're right. If Josh Freeman doesn't need to make plays, he's not going to put himself in a position to throw over 20 interceptions this season. That's what I think Greg Schiano and company have instilled in that offense. Lean on the running game, let things open up, and then work down the field and pick your poison with respect to Vincent Jackson and Dallas Clark. And that's how I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to try to at least manage the game come this Sunday. They are not going to force Josh Freeman to become a big playmaker overnight. And if they can follow and pick up where they left off last week, they may have some success in terms of moving the ball up and down the field.
201-939-4513. We'll get more into the Bucs' offense. We'll get into their defense as well. Pat Hanlon joins us at 10:05. We'll have our picks later in the show. So a very, very busy day today on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. All right, to our phones at 201-939-4513. Jermaine is in New Jersey. What's up, Jermaine?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Good morning.
This is a good question about our offense. You know, we're going to go down there and show them a different look. Like, we'll see some Ramsey Barden this week. We'll see a little of the rookie this week. Maybe Wilson getting a little passing game this week. Like, what are they thinking as far as our offense is concerned? And on the defensive side, how about a switching man-to-man as far as how we're going to play their offense, because we know it so well with Sullivan and everything. Like, what are they thinking right now?
Okay, well, first on your offensive question, I think it's going to be hard to get Ramsey Barden on the field. You have your two starting wide receivers and Nixon Cruz, even though Nix is still a little banged up. Hickson solidified in that third spot, which means Barden is either the fourth guy or the fifth guy, depending on where Reuben Randall is. So I don't think you're going to see Barden a whole lot. And frankly, I wouldn't take one of those guys off the field to get Barden in the game. All three of them, in my opinion, are better wide receivers. As for David Wilson, he better control the ball. And the issue with throwing the ball to him, that means he has to be in third downs and he has to pass protect, something he's had trouble with before. And the Bucs' defensive line is very good at getting at the quarterback. And in terms of defense, Lance, you play man-to-man, and the Giants have a lot of injuries at cornerback. Prince coming back from the high ankle, Coe with the hamstring. I'm not sure if you want to put these guys out on an island that early, both coming back from injuries and making them play man defense.
I think that would put them in a precarious situation, because remember, it's a positive to have Prince out there, but remember, he's still nursing the injury. It's not as if he's going to be immediately 100% on Sunday, and given some of the injuries that have plagued this team, I don't know if that's the best strategy to all of a sudden have these guys line up man-to-man at the line of scrimmage and then put them in a potential where Vincent Jackson could just blow by them up the sidelines. One thing that Perry Field did throw out there, and this is something they utilized last season, perhaps you may see some three safety slots this week in terms of them experimenting to give some extra support in the secondary. That may be something that maybe we could see a little bit more of. But past that, you know, they're not going to change things up all of a sudden just because of the fact that Mike Sullivan has some familiarity with the offense, or, you know, Bill Sheridan with the defense. You can't do that. You can't all of a sudden forget who you are.
No, you have to do what you do.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't foresee them all of a sudden stripping the playbook and we're going to have an unbelievably different Giants team in terms of the look of the offense and the defense. You're going to see what they are made of, their bread and butter, and there may be a couple of signal changes and maybe they may rotate personnel a little bit differently just to catch the Bucs off guard. One thing I believe Kevin Gilbride even threw out this week was the importance of maybe even trying to fake a play, meaning using the regular signals, catch them off guard, all of a sudden you catch them on a slant, you go deep, and then they know, okay, the Giants are not mimicking everything that we thought they were going to do.
And that's why I think this whole thing is a little overplayed, because both teams know that the other team knows that they know how they run their system. So both teams are going to make changes to what they do, even if they're just subtle ones. So you can't really go in and say, all right, well, if they call, you know, 45, you know, Tahoe left, that we know it's this play. You know what I mean? Both teams know each other, so you got to change things. It's a huge cat-and-mouse thing. Look, whichever team executes better, that's who's going to win this game. It's really the bottom line.
What about working in the horse and buggy play? Can we bring that back this season? How about that? Dust off the old playbook and bring that into the mix?
Which was the horse and buggy play?
I don't remember, but I did name
Brandon
that.
Brandon Jacobs was involved, I believe.
I thought it was Ahmad Bradshaw.
Oh, maybe.
It was one running back running over somebody or something to that nature.
That was not one of your better moments.
I can't wait for this week. That's how excited I am.
You know what? You did pretty good in week one.
Well, I'll pat myself once on the back. That coming from you, I mean, that says a lot.
Well, I have high standards.
But we'll see. That's only 1 week. You know, it's early, as I like to say.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. And we talked about the Bucs offense, Lance. One guy we didn't mention is their big free agent acquisition in the offseason. And they really had two of them. Carl Nix is one. Their Pro Bowl guard, really one of the best guards in the league. He has a toe injury, but he's going to play in this game. He's going to affect the running game, obviously. But the guy I want to talk about is Vincent Jackson, their big play wide receiver they brought in from San Diego. He had their most targets last week. I think he had 9 targets. He caught 4 passes for about 70 yards, something like that. But he is a big play guy, and he's just as explosive as Dez Bryant or Miles Austin or Kevin Ogletree. So the Giants have to be very careful with him. He's the key to their whole passing attack. He's going to track double teams, potentially open things up for Mike Williams. But if the Bucs are going to beat you deep, it's going to be Vincent Jackson.
Giants fans should be familiar with Vincent Jackson, and this may be bringing up some bad memories for the Giants. But when the Chargers came to the Meadowlands a couple of years ago, remember Vincent Jackson caught that game-winning go-ahead touchdown late in the game from Philip Rivers.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Good memory.
When you've been around the organization, you tend to remember those things.
Yeah, honestly, I'm getting old. I don't remember anything.
Well, a lot of Giants fans, a lot of people around this organization don't want to remember that play because that was a heartbreaker, and I believe that was during that losing streak that really affected the Giants in the second half of the season
after they
had gotten off to such a strong start. But to get back to the main topic as to what Vincent Jackson will present with respect to the Bucs offense, he still has that same ability to, like you just touched on, John, to get deep. And, you know, I don't think Freeman's necessarily going to air it out, but he'll take his chances if Vincent Jackson gets a favorable matchup. That's why you wouldn't want to put Michael Coe and Prince Amukamara in a position where Vincent Jackson could beat them one-on-one. And that gets back to what Jermaine touched on when he called up earlier here on Big Blue Kickoff. So, you know, Vincent Jackson, certainly you got to keep close tabs on. You want to take him out of his element. The other guy that I want to throw out there, still a veteran presence, but Dallas Clark, to me, still has some gas in the tank.
Oh, sure he does.
And if he has a favorable matchup, John, against a linebacker, you know, that's another guy that you need to be aware of because he can go down the middle of the field and just like that gain 20 to 30 yards.
And Dallas Clark, he had their longest catch last week. I think it was a little seam route for almost 40 yards last week. So he had a big catch. And when he's healthy, he can still play. He's not a great blocker, but he can catch. So that's something the Giants will have to take care of in the middle of the field. But honestly, I think one of the great strengths of the Giants' defense is really covering the linebacker now. They have so many guys that can do it, from Bully, though, you know, he still has the hamstring a little bit. We'll see how fast he still is. But Jaquan Williams, Keith Rivers, they have a lot of speed at linebacker. Even a Spencer Paysinger coming off the bench, they have a lot of speed at linebacker that can deal with the tight end position fairly well.
Yeah, I mean, they were tested last week somewhat with Jason Witten. He wasn't necessarily effective, but, you know, the Cowboys certainly like to work their tight end into things. And, you know, Tampa Bay, which has had Kellen Winslow Jr. in the past, now is turning to a veteran in Dallas Clark. You always need to be aware because it becomes a security blanket position, especially for a guy like Freeman. If he doesn't have anything deep, he'll dump it off 10, 15 yards to his tight end. And Clark is a veteran guy who certainly is somebody they're leaning on to help open up the lanes for Doug Martin. They are going to try to set the tempo on the ground. I mean, I don't think they're making that a secret. It was evident last week, and they're going to try to go for that game plan this week. Ride Doug Martin, have him open things up, and then all of a sudden see what Freeman could give them. But the key is, and John's going to throw it out multiple times over the next couple of days, is stop the run.
Yep.
I mean, that's the bottom line. If you limit Doug Martin if you prevent him from picking up chunks of yardage, three here, four there, they're going to get in third and long situations, second and long situations, and in those situations, Freeman is going to have to put the offense on his shoulders. And if you're the Giants, you want to see Freeman make plays more so than Doug Martin.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. I should bring up, by the way, and we haven't really talked about this much on the show, that we have started our Giants Broadcasters Fantasy Challenge on Giants.com. You can check it out. It's in the blog entry section that Danny Salamone puts together every week. And I've gotten most of the broadcasters here. The only guy I couldn't get is Banks, because he's one of the most elusive people on the face of the planet. I pretty much managed to get everybody else, which really is a minor miracle. I'm just letting this took a lot of legwork on my part. Not I'm trying to pat myself in the back here, but it was hard to get him to do it. Now, Melroy's doing a good job getting them to do it every week and keeping track of all the numbers and everything like that.
We may want to note that you just complimented Melroy for the first time and maybe a rare time.
Well,
but anyway,
it might be it might be the first time he's ever earned it, so there you go.
There you go.
So I just want to go through couple of the decision-making process here on some of the, and we will get back to your calls in just a second. But the rules, by the way, folks, is so you know, we have a budget. Players get assigned values based on their ranking on NFL.com. You pick your team. You can't pick anybody on the Giants or anybody the Giants are playing. That's part of the rule stipulation. Just keep that in mind here. And it's funny. This week, Lance, I felt there were a lot of bargains out there for a dollar that really worked out. Chris Johnson on a down week, off a down week, I think that's why I went with him. And I think Cam Newton against the Saints could rack up some big quarterback numbers.
Yeah, the Saints, based on last week's performance, haven't taken the step in the right direction on the defensive side. So Newton is certainly setting himself up for a bounce-back game if he can get that running game going. And for $5, you really can't go wrong. I mean, you got a $40 budget, so you can only invest so much in one position.
I think I was the first one to pick the top dollar value player from any position group. I went with Arian Foster this week, which I thought was interesting. One other thing I want to ask you about is we both rolled the dice on Steve Smith this week with that knee injury. I think of a big game, but the knee.
Ron Rivera said he's absolutely going to play, and
But you know, coaches always tell the truth when they talk about injuries.
But he does have a history of playing with injuries.
He does.
And he's one of the toughest wide receivers in the league, so that's why I wouldn't be too skeptical on him. And the rationale behind that is the same thing with Newton. He's going up against the Saints defense, and the Redskins had a field day in passing the football. I don't see why Carolina can't pick up where they left off.
And you're trusting Alfred Morris, considering the Shanahan revolving door at running back?
Well, Morris earned at least one game.
Fair enough.
For 20 more carries. Past that, I can't say whether Evan Royster or Roy Helu will be in the mix, but I like the matchup against St. Louis given the success that Kevin Smith had last week.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Jim in New York City. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys.
How we doing, Jim? What you got?
Yeah. So definitely the Giants game, man. We're gonna run.
Run the ball or run the show?
We're gonna run the show.
And Jim? What's your score? What do you got?
The score is going to be 21-0.
Oh,
Giants.
You say they're gonna pitch shutout, huh?
They're not gonna even score 1 point.
Wow,
confidence.
That is confidence. Why do you feel that way? What do you think is going to change defensively for the team this week?
I mean, everything. We really have to shape up. I mean, Tuck has to do some more. But you know, we're just gonna get to them this week, man. It's gonna be not even a contest.
Now, you know what?
And
if Jim's argument is that the pass rush, and Jerry, I'm sorry for interrupting you there. I apologize, but we want to get to the rest of our callers here. If your argument is that the pass rush is gonna be a lot better and that's gonna throw Freeman for a loop, and the Giants' defense will dominate because of that, I can buy that. It makes sense to me.
You mentioned that you were stunned that the Giants were throwing out that they needed a wake-up call. Well, if they needed a wake-up call from playing no games to the first week, you can imagine the type of wake-up call that they got after losing to Dallas and waiting over a week to get ready for Tampa Bay. So the motivation factor is there, especially for this defense, considering JPP, OC, and Tuck. Not only did they not get a sack last week, but they didn't have one quarterback hit. So those guys are hungry. I expect them to go after Freeman, and if they could set the tone at the line of scrimmage, Tampa Bay's going to have a long afternoon.
Only four quarterback hits over the course of the game. Perry Field spoke to the media yesterday, made the point on a good game, the Giants want to have 10 quarterback hits. So take that for what it's worth. JPP said yesterday that, you know, we have to stop trying to hit home runs. Everyone does their job. We'll get to the quarterback. OCU Manura made the point that, you know, it was pretty embarrassing and bad news that they didn't get more hits and quarterback pressure on Tony Romo. So that's something that everyone will be keeping an eye on. 201-939-4513. Hussein in New Jersey. What's up, Hussein?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem, man. Good morning.
So I feel like this game could go either way. First of all, I think it's going to be over in the first half. I think the Giants are going to come out strong. But then again, Schiano's coming back to Jersey along with LeGrand, which is, you know, sort of a big thing, in mm-hmm. my opinion. But I do feel that the Giants are going to come out ready to play, especially after week one. And I just don't see them starting 0-2 this season.
All right, I think that's fair. Second straight home game, already one home game lost at home. I think this is, as Lance just pointed out, if the Giants needed a wake-up call, they got it last week. And I imagine they'll come out roaring this week. And I expect the Giants' victory. I think they'll come out, they'll play well, and they'll win the game. The Bucs are a very young team. Their average age, I think, is at about 26. They have a young quarterback, a young running back. They're missing one of their Pro Bowl guards. Davin Joseph's not going to play in this game. Carl Nix probably will, despite the fact he missed practice on Thursday with that toe injury. I think the Giants are in good shape to have a pretty big victory. But if they don't play well, and if they play as – and that's just that's me saying that, assuming the Giants play up to their abilities. If they play the same poor game they played against the Dallas Cowboys last week, this thing's up for grabs.
You can't give Tampa Bay gifts.
No, exactly.
I mean, that's what's going to keep them in the game, or at least give them an early opportunity to set the tempo. And one thing that we haven't touched much on, John, is Tampa Bay's defense overall. And I would assume that Eli Manning and company, unless this running game just changes overnight, is going to clearly look to air things out. And the Tampa Bay secondary looked pretty good last week in terms of their aggressiveness in getting to the ball. They had a lot of key deflections and hits late to disrupt things for Carolina. It's not as if they're throwing a bunch of rookies out there. With the exception of Mark Barron, everybody else is a veteran. Eric Wright, who they brought in via free agency, is one corner. Aqib Talib's been there. And Rondé Barber, 37 years old. The guy's playing like he's only has 3 years in the league.
I know. Defensive line's younger. McCoy's only in his third year. He missed a lot of games because of injury. Claiborne, their best pass rusher, is only a second-year player. Michael Bennett's a veteran. That's fair. But they have Levante David, who's their only full-time linebacker. He's a rookie this year. Mason Foster, their starting middle linebacker. He was a rookie last year, led all rookies in tackles. Quincy Black's been in the league for a while. So they are a young defense, but you're right. They do have some veterans, especially in the secondary, that can deal with the Giants. And the Giants are a big-play team. If Knicks doesn't look right and can't beat guys down the field. Now, look, the Cowboys played a lot of two deep last week, one of the reasons the Giants couldn't make big plays. That being said, you still got to figure out a way to make some big plays down the field. That's what this Giant offense is about.
And if you have plays in the middle of the field, you got to hold on to the football. You know, one thing you could say played a big role in the Giants coughing up opportunities last week was when the passes were on the money, the receivers didn't always necessarily bail out Eli Manning, and that has to change.
201-939-4513. One of our great Twitter buddies does a great job on Twitter all the way out in the UK, and that's Duncan. Duncan, good morning, pal. How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
We're doing great, Duncan. Thanks for calling in. What's up?
Well, Lance is really answering the question I was going to ask, which is about whether TC would change his style for the Bucs offense. But to sort of follow on from that, I was wondering, would it really matter if the Bucs scored 30 points as long as we got 31?
You can't argue with that philosophy.
The player that we've got, as long as bottom line, is scoring more points than them, isn't it?
Hey, look, no doubt about it. And if the Giants' defense struggles the same way it did against Dallas last week, the offense will have to pick up the slack. But, Duncan, my concern is this, really, quite frankly, the Giant offense did not look right last week because they couldn't run the ball, which was a problem all last year, and then they couldn't get the ball down the field either, whether it was because of Cruz's drops or Nix's foot. Whatever the case might be, the offense didn't look like they were ready to outscore people last week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my concern last week was, was TC's style correct and the players didn't execute it, or was the style wrong?
I don't think the style was wrong. I think it was the execution. You know, there were plays to be made last week. It wasn't as if the Giants couldn't move the chains. The problem was some drops, some fumbles, Ahmad Bradshaw not being patient and sticking with the holes. I mean, the list goes on and on. Guys missed assignments in terms of their blocking. If they change that, the Giants are going to get back to the style of football that allowed them to make that great run late last season. It's not necessarily as if the Giants need to go back to the playbook and say, you know what, we need to change things completely. And don't expect to see a completely new offense and defense this week. The end of the day, they got to concentrate and eliminate the mental errors. What Victor Cruz was plagued from last week was not securing the football and thinking 10 yards ahead of the play. If he reverses that this week, they should be able to move the chains. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I agree entirely with that.
All right,
Duncan, thanks a lot for the call, man. Love to hear from our friends across the Atlantic Ocean over there in the UK. A lot of big Giant fans in the UK, believe it or not. I don't know if it has to do with the fact that Giants played that first game at Wembley back in 2007, or just a lot of transplant in New Yorkers over there. I don't know, whatever it might be. There are a lot of Giant fans out there. There's a bunch of UK Giant blogs on the web that I know people do. They have, like, the New York Giants bars, pubs, excuse me. The New York Giants pubs out there in London and stuff where people go and watch the games. Pretty big fan base out there. They do a good job.
Yeah, Giants.com is a great tool for them to follow the team from across the pond.
Of course, they have to listen to us, which is a big minus from their perspective.
Well, you know, I mean, they have to put up with you more so than
That's
me.
That's correct.
But, you know, we'll try
to get over
that.
Well, you're hosting this show 3 days a week. I'm only on it two, so...
Well, they get to also visually see you in the offseason as
well. Which really doesn't help anybody.
That's a whole other ballgame. We won't get into that.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. What's up, Mike? How are you, pal?
Good. How are you guys?
Good morning.
I was just wondering, what is the injury situation for the cornerbacks? Is Michael Coe possibly going to play?
Hey, it looks like It looks like both Coe and Amukamara are going to go. Whether or not... both are going to be absolutely 100%. I'm not sure, but you see Prince and Coe walking around the hallways here. They don't walk around with a limp. They look pretty good, so I think both guys are going to play and probably split time at that second cornerback position opposite Corey Webster. Quite frankly, since Prince hasn't played in a while, he's not going to be able to play the full playload anyway because he's not physically ready to do it. And, you know, Coe is a hamstring. You don't want to mess around with that for a defensive back, so I think they'll probably split time over there.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You got
perfect.
It. And you need some depth at that position because of all the injuries, but keep in mind, those are two injuries that can easily get re-aggravated, and that's
correct.
Why you need to have them both ready to go. You can tweak the ankle again, and the hamstring can get tight all of a sudden, so don't be surprised if Justin Tryon is thrown out there again, depending on how these guys get through the duration of this game Sunday.
201-939-4513. The perfect opening act for Pat Hanlon. Has to be Vinny in Pennsylvania. What's up, Vinny?
What's up?
Hey, Vinny. How we doing? Wow. It's been a long time. No talk.
Oh, my gosh. Is this Lance?
Absolutely.
My man, Lance, what did I tell you last year?
Well, you told me to be patient, and you told me that they were going to ride out the storm and take care of business, which you were of your word.
What happened, my man?
They won the trophy. I'm not taking anything away from you, Vinny.
Remember, be positive. You got to be positive.
Well,
know?
It's only 1 week here. We're trying to remain as positive as possible.
Hey, you know what? I give you credit. You were sounding pretty positive today.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, the more importantly here, I heard through the Rumorville that you had some rhymes the last time I wasn't here. So are you going to try to bring some new lyrics to us today?
Yeah, I got a little one. Last week was like the one I worked on for like a day, you know. I had some time to work on it. Now, I was saying if you want to hire me full time, I could sit there next to Pat Hanlon and just write rhymes all day.
Well, we may need you to create a new open for the show.
Hey, Vinny, quite frankly, I've been considering letting Lance go, so if you want to come and replace him, I'm okay with that.
No, this show wouldn't be the same without Lance.
Ah, you see? There you go.
You know, I like Lance. I always just pick on him. Last year he was just saying too much about, oh, I don't know, we're not going to make it. It's like, you know the history behind the Giants? Like, we always find a way to make it.
Captain Negative, Lance Meadow. We love him.
I got a little rhyme for you today, and I'm glad I'm going on right before Pat because I love watching Pat on the MSN TV show, whatever he's got on there. I love that show.
I would love to see Pat Hale have an MTV show, for one. But, That show can be seen. Giants Online is now on Giants.com, and it can be seen live on game day as well on Giants opening drive live on MSG. All right, Vinny, give us your rhyme if you got it, pal.
Okay, it's a little one. You ready?
Yeah, go
We're
ahead.
Ready.
All right, 2012, let the season begin. Yes, it's me, Vin, again, with rhymes dope enough to be on ESPN. Now, losing to the Cowgirls was a drag, but Giants fans don't throw the red flag. And if you have any serious questions, please send them into Eisen's mailbag. Now, I can feel the Giants' hunger. Our defense will run you over like a Toyota Tundra. Bradshaw's the lightning, and JPP's the thunder. That's all for today, though.
All right, Vinny. Good job, man. I like how he doesn't just work in, like, products. He works in all Giant sponsors,
exactly,
too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Toyota, the official vehicle of the Giant, obviously.
And features on the web, too.
He's very
creative.
Vinny does an excellent job. 201-939-4513. And now, for his first appearance of the season, everyone's been looking forward to this and just been so excited to welcome Pat Hanlon back to the program. Patrick?
I love walking into this room and you saying something that you hope I didn't hear.
Not at all.
What was the MTV reference?
Vinny said, I love watching Pat Hanlon on Giants Online on MTV. And I said, I'd love to see Pat Hanlon have a show on MTV.
Okay.
That's all it was.
I got it. So now we got people confusing Giants.com with MTV. That's like confusing Lance's serious NFL radio with NPR, right?
Well, Lance is very Jersey Shore-esque. I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, yes.
He belongs down
Absolutely.
There with the situation in Snooki, right?
Without a doubt. I mesh very well with that group.
All right, Pat. I want to ask you about one thing about last week's game before we move ahead.
Last week? When did we play? We played 2 years ago.
It isn't about X's and O's thing. But after the game, a couple of the players said that, quote-unquote, we needed this wake-up call. Coach Coughlin said in his press conference, humble pie. I was surprised that this team needed a wake-up call considering the situation of the Week 1 game, division rival, NFL opening night. And quite frankly, going into the game and throughout the whole preseason, I never got the feeling that this team had, you know, lost any sort of, you know, drive. I just thought it was a strange thing to hear.
When you don't play well and you don't execute, it looks like you need a wake-up call.
Right.
Here's how I interpret it. When these guys, they worked hard. Maybe the attention to detail wasn't there. Maybe the crispness that's needed in practice wasn't there. Maybe the focus that's needed in the meeting rooms wasn't there. And until you go out and you don't execute the way you know you're capable of doing, you don't realize that you missed those steps along the way, right? And so, you know, you think you can show up, right? And you've been working hard to get ready. But until the proof's in the pudding and you don't execute the way you know you're capable of doing, then you go back and you review and you say, yeah, we didn't practice as well as we could have. We didn't focus in the meeting room as well. And so that's what the last 10 days have been about. I mean, that's the way I interpret it.
There's a lot of familiarity between both of these teams based on the coaching ties with Mike Sullivan, Bill Sheridan, DJ Ware now with Tampa Bay. You know, a lot of speculation who has the edge. Do you think any team specifically in this situation will be able to capitalize on having some additional coaches on their side?
No, because, listen, it goes to what I just said. Unless you execute, it doesn't matter what anybody knows, okay? And as Eli has said, you know, Sully may know our calls, he may know how we run things, but he's not going to know when we do that, right? And it's like Kevin Gilbride said yesterday, all you got to do is make one assumption and get burned by it, and then this notion that you have a read on how we're going to do things goes flying out the window. So these guys, listen, we play Dallas, Philly, Washington twice a year, every year. Eli Manning's been our quarterback for 8 years. He's been in the same offense for 8 years. You don't think that those other three division opponents know every little thing about what we do? So every year you've got to change things, if for no other reason, because of your division competition and the familiarity that they have with you. So to me, I equate it to that.
Speaking of coaches, there was an interesting article in the New York Times this morning about Kevin Gilbride's mustache. Please. Speaking about missing something familiar.
This is when you know when the New York Times devotes column inches to the demise of Kevin Gilbride's mustache. That's when you know we've had way, way too much time between game one and game
two.
It's
only week two.
And I would agree with you on that. But I was going to say, as a man who clearly takes pride in his facial hair, I was going to ask you what your thoughts were, the fact that he's not sporting the mustache anymore.
What, about Gilbride taking pride in his facial hair?
No, you. I mean, you've experimented
a little,
too.
I'll tell you about the pride I have in my facial hair. I'm getting in my car this morning, and my wife looks at me and says, when in the hell are you going to shave that thing off? And we're only in week two. She said it's too scraggly.
Well, see, unfortunately, okay, so now
I thought, I thought Gilbride handled the accidental loss of his mustache very well. And in fact, I didn't even it must have been I had to explain to him the day after we played Chicago in the preseason. I said, you know, there was a buzz in the press box last night about you. He said, well, what? He said, people noticed that you didn't have your, you know, you weren't wearing your mustache. And so anyway, he kept moving along. He didn't let it distract him too much.
Honestly, I thought Coach Cooper was just tired of the Captain Crunch comparisons, and he didn't want that to happen anymore. So it is moving on from that. And
you guys have spent a lot more time thinking about Gilbride's mustache than I have.
Though, Pat, it is.
I didn't even know it was gone.
Though,
okay,
Pat,
so.
Well, we got to fill up time too.
Well, frankly, it is unfortunate if your wife's upset about the goatee. That means you're back down to one person in the fan club, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's a big problem.
Right.
Just want to look forward here in terms of the Bucks, Pat. Hakeem Nicks, is it fair to say that he's been placed on a Ahmad Bradshaw, Burris-esque program here to keep that foot healthy so he'll be available the whole year?
Listen, Tom said it yesterday, and you can just tell by the way we've tried to manage him this week. Yeah, I mean, he's, at least in the short term, that's probably the way it's going to have to be handled. You're talking about a wide receiver who has to run and has to stop on a dime and has to make cuts, who's coming off of a broken foot. And, you know, he is – nobody's tougher than Hakeem, and nobody's going to, you know, try to defy the reality of the fact that he's coming off the broken foot more than him. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things that there's soreness involved in the injury and in rehabbing the injury. And it's one of those things, at least, again, in the short term, it's going to have to be managed a little bit like Bradshaw has been, yeah.
Now, Kevin Gilbride did say yesterday when he spoke to the media that he does try to keep in mind that the foot bothers him a little bit more on certain routes than others and, you know, things of that nature. But to me, that's almost an impossible thing to do.
You
the guy's out
that.
There playing. He
first
just got to do what he does.
First of all, Hakeem doesn't want to hear that.
Right.
Hakeem doesn't want to hear that. He's going to go out there. His job is to execute whatever play is called. And even though Gilbride admitted that, yes, somewhere floating in the back of his head is the fact that, you know, I've got a wide receiver who's coming off of a broken foot. He doesn't, I mean, you know, on that color-coded menu that these offensive and defensive coordinators hold up in front of their face, I'm sure there's not a column that says Nick's foot call, right? So.
Fair point. What?
The Giants running game struggled somewhat last week against the Cowboys, and there's all this talk about how they're resorting back to the struggles when they were 7-7. I mean, for the Giants fans listening, I know it's just one game, but why should they not be concerned about the running game?
They should be concerned until we get it going. I mean, you've got to listen. The offensive line and defensive line, our offensive and defensive lines last week didn't play the way they're accustomed to playing and the way that we're accustomed to seeing them play. And until you do it, yeah, there is concern. There's legitimate concern. And the only way to change that is to go out and play physical. And it's like I said on the Giants Online this week. You know, it's a cliche. People have heard it 1,000 times, and so we kind of dismiss it. But when we go into a game, the objective is to run the football on offense and to stop the run on defense. And in week one, we didn't do either one of those things. And until you do it, then yeah, you're going to be concerned. And there's no way to talk your way out of it. You have to go out there and do it. And you have to go out there and be physical and be more physical than the other team.
I want to take some issue with some criticism that Coach Coughlin got this week. Oh, you know, he was too hard on David Wilson for fumbling, this and that. To me, when you have a rookie – and you value ball security the way this franchise and this head coach does, which every team should, because turnovers is almost everything in this league, and the guy makes that mistake on just his second carry, to me that's a proper message to send that this will not be tolerated, and if you do it, you're not going to play. I didn't have a problem with it at all. I don't understand why so many people did.
Listen, Tom Coughlin's a teacher. All these coaches are teachers. That's what they do. You're teaching a young, extremely talented running back who you hope has a long career in this league and with this franchise. You're teaching that player, you're driving it home that this is of paramount importance. Now, he has been, since he showed up for rookie minicamp, it has been reinforced time and time again because David Wilson had some issues with ball security in college. They've worked with him on the high and tight technique. They've talked to him time and time again about ball security. And you get into your very first game that counts, and you have a ball security issue. You've done everything a teacher could possibly do up until that point, and then guess what? It still happens. That's another way of reinforcing in the ultimate way that if you don't take care of the ball, you won't play. And you can, if I sit here and tell you that and don't follow through on that promise, then you're not learning the lesson. The lesson hasn't been taught. So to me, it's a teaching technique, and that's what coaches do. They teach, and hopefully the lesson's been learned.
How do you want to take some calls real quick, Pat?
Smelk, it's your show. You and Lance are running the show. I'm just passing through.
All right, 201-939-4513. Caesar's in San Antonio, Texas. What's up, Caesar?
Hey, Don, how you doing today?
Doing well, Caesar. What's on your mind? You're on with Lance and Pat Hanlon.
All right, hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on. And my concern or my questions were our secondary. Do you know, as far as Terrell Thomas is concerned, what about guys like Deion Grant, who helped out so much last year? What about bringing some of these guys in, maybe bringing in another corner? Because the most obvious, weakness we have, which was apparent in Dallas, was our secondary. How do you think they'll hold up? What plans do we have moving forward? Or the guys that we have right now, are they good enough? Is Prince going to be, the Prince that he's supposed to be? Or are we just going to keep wishing? That's my concern.
Pat, go ahead.
With the people to play that position, the corner position, are here. They just have to get healthy. Coe, until he strained his hamstring against Dallas, I think probably was playing fairly well.
I thought he might have been the best corner on the field for us before
very
he got
aggressive.
Hurt.
Prince has not, the Prince's grade is incomplete. Prince hasn't, he was plagued by injury as a rookie. He's been plagued by injury thus far in his second year. The times that he's been able to stay out on the field and practice, you can see the improvement. You can see the flashes. He just needs to get healthy and get on the field. Corey Webster did not have a Corey Webster game against the Dallas Cowboys. So the people to man that the cornerback position are here. They're just not healthy right now. Prince is working his tail off to get back here, but again, he's coming back from a high ankle, and he's practiced on a limited basis this week. And, we'll see if he's far enough along in his rehab to be able to play on Sunday.
Yeah, you really can't get a good taste of this secondary until everybody returns to full form and full health. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's go to Abraham. Abraham, what's on your mind?
Good morning. This question's not about facial hair. So let me ask you a question and going in a different direction. For a number of years, we've known that the special teams has been pretty much anemic, and it's not been what we've wanted as Giant fans. And as, I'm wondering, when do we say, Coach Quinn, enough is enough. You're a great coach, but maybe we need some fresh blood here and maybe change things up a little bit. So what are your thoughts on maybe next year going in a different direction with a special teams coach?
You know what? Honestly, Abe, if you want to put this on Coach Quinn, that's the easy thing to do. And frankly, it's just, in my opinion, not correct. You've rotated a lot of guys in and out of this return game over the past few years, and they just haven't been able to find the great fit. If David Wilson remains in that kickoff return spot this year, in my opinion, he's explosive enough. He's going to return one for a touchdown. He's that good. You have Hicks in there doing punts for the year, or even a guy like Hosley. These guys are explosive enough. They're going to have an opportunity to bring a ball back for a touchdown. Has the production not been there the way you want it to be the past few years in terms of the return game? Sure. But I think it's improving. I think you have the explosiveness and the guys back there to get the job done now. And I think the blocking has been better this year. And I think you have to like the relatively deep stable of guys you can use in that spot too, with the likes of Reuben Randall, Terrell Jernigan, guys like that, Lance. I think the special teams in Pat are ascending here in terms of the return game.
We've never had a guy that's explosive as David Wilson.
Right.
So, I mean, he's played exactly one game in the NFL. And Hickson has shown in the past that he can be an extremely effective punt returner. And again, he's been nagged over the last 2 years with the ACL injuries. And he was brought along unquestionably, brought along slowly during training camp. He didn't even go back and return any punts in the preseason, again, as he worked his way back from the ACL. So, you know, I have great hopes for that part of the game. Tom Quinn talked yesterday about the fact that in terms of coverage, even though there is a core group of veteran guys that are on the coverage units, there's still a lot of new faces that are still coming together and still learning how to do their jobs on special teams, and that it takes a couple games until they get that. And then when you talk about, you know, special teams are Weatherford and Tynes as well. And, you know, those guys are as good as anybody at what they do. So, you know, I know I have a hard time whenever – I don't even know what the argument is. I mean, because we haven't returned one, either a kickoff or a punt for a touchdown yet. I don't – you know, just take care of the ball, get us field position, and if we're punting it, let's pin the other team back. That's what I want from special teams.
Another X factor on special teams, and this is also due to him not being fully healthy, Jaquan Williams, who played an integral role in the Super Bowl run. I mean, let's not forget, Giants fans, they had some key special teams plays that helped them ride that six-game winning streak.
Special teams won the the NFC Championship game. And Jaquan Williams is another guy. He didn't play in the preseason, and so he's just knocking off the rust.
Now, Hosley showed some flashes in the preseason. The bottom line, as John and Pat just touched on, the personnel's in place. It's just a matter of them taking advantage of the opportunities if they present themselves.
All right, Pat, last one for me. I want to touch on one guy you guys brought in the offseason. That's Martellus Bennett. There are obviously some, you know, challenges and risk when you bring in a guy like that. He didn't have a lot of production in his 4 years with Dallas, despite the fact he was behind Jason Witten. He also has a very colorful guy and has had some off-the-field issues, as everyone well knows about. But I think the way he's fit in has really just been phenomenal. I think that move has worked out. At least the early returns are extremely positive.
When you say off the field, you're not talking about behavioral.
Of course, he's had no law issues or anything like that. His colorful personality.
That's correct. And from the day he showed up, you can tell he's a little different than like the rest of the group. Although he has now experienced what the culture is like here He's
adjusted.
Yes, he has. He's adjusted. And he is a heck of a run blocker, okay? And we've already talked earlier about the issues that we had in our run game a year ago. He ought to be able to help us improve in that area. And you can tell that and he's talked time and time again about developing a rapport and developing a relationship with Eli. And, you know, he scored a touchdown in the first game. So, you know, he's a guy that has waited behind a Hall of Fame tight end in Dallas for an opportunity to display what he can do in this league. And we have given him that opportunity. And typically that is a great marriage. When you have somebody that has something to prove and you have a need, usually that's a great union.
This is actually a Twitter question, Pat.
I believe it's from Big Blue Interactive.
It's Big Blue Interactive.
Yes, correct.
Okay,
you got it.
Stand corrected. But you can also chime in on Twitter, those Giants fans listening, hashtag Giants Chat. It's regarding, what is this, the rookies? John, you're right in front of the screen.
Okay.
You might as well read the
Here
question.
Here we go. This one comes in from Fish. How do all the rookies feel after their first big game? We know about Wilson. How about Randall, Robinson, and Kuhn? We know that rookies can sometimes be lost during the first part of their rookie year. When are things, or have things started to slow down for these guys, or are they still a little overwhelmed?
Boy, I don't know. I haven't polled any of them recently. You know, a rookie is to be seen and not heard from. So, hopefully, my sense of that group is they're all anxious and willing to learn what it's like to be a professional. They all have acknowledged that the veteran leadership is extremely important to their development. And they're learning their craft. They're professionals now. They're learning what it takes to be a productive player at this level. And so that's kind of where they all are. And some more than others have been called on to perform, specifically Kuhn on the defensive line. And they're going to be fine. They're a good, hard-working group, but they're rookies.
Pat, you had touched on Martellus Bennett and the role that hopefully he'll play in terms of opening up the running game. Before we let you go, I just wanted to touch on one other injury. I guess he's not technically on the injury report anymore, but Will Beatty, who was active last week, didn't start. I mean, what's the game plan in terms of moving him along and trying to really get him back into the flow?
That's exactly what the game plan is. He's been his reps over the course of the last couple weeks in practice, as he said, have increased tremendously. And to the point where he takes first team and second team reps to get his, you know, we're making up for a lot of lost time. He didn't play in the preseason. And so that's what he's doing. And knock on wood, you know, he's gone a significant period here now of not having any setbacks. And, you know, as Beatty himself said, it's up to me now on the practice field to demonstrate to the coaches that I'm ready for a bigger role come game day. And so that's where we are. And whatever that role is going to be on Sunday, Lance, you and I will find out at about the same time.
Pat, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
All right. Have a good weekend, Schmelk.
I'll see you on Sunday, and we'll see you later on today up near your office.
Okay.
All right, Schmelk. Pat. Thanks a lot.
I always look forward to seeing you.
Take care.
Lance,
thanks a lot.
Bye.
Dripping with sincerity, as always, the great Pat Hanlon, 201-939-4513. Let's wrap up on our phones here. Let's go to Alan in Washington, D.C. What's up, Alan?
Hey, what's going on? Tough loss against Dallas, and I'm still getting over it. It's hard being a Giants fan over here in the D.C. area with, you know, the hype about RG3 and you know, losing to a division foe. My question is, you know, what's up with our defense? How's it going to do against Tampa? And in the words of, you know, Greg Popovich and from the Spurs, I want to see some nasty. I want it back. I want blood. You know, I want to see Tampa Bay go down. What are we going to do? What is our plan for them?
I'm a big fan of the Greg Popovich reference. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Two big NBA fans here, so you're obviously, you know, there you go. But yeah, you know what? Look, the Giants. We talked about, of course, stopping the run, and you also have to get to the pass. Right? I mean, look, this Giants defense is built on the pass rush. They didn't rush the pass at all last week. It was terrible. A lot of that has to do with Romo's being able to avoid the rush and all that stuff. That's part of it. But look, you're right. They have to be a little bit more physical, a little bit more aggressive on defense. They couldn't get any pressure on Romo, and they didn't stop the run. You got to do at least one out of those two things if you want to do anything on defense, and they didn't. So you're right. The Giants, in that way on defense, had to be a lot more physical and a lot more aggressive.
And you just can't have those mental lapses. Corey Webster, it's not as if there was miscommunication. He just had a bad game, as Pat even touched on.
Beat on two double moves.
If you have your man-to-man assignments, you've got to be with the guy the whole way. You can't get beat because those are going to ultimately turn into big plays, and Tampa Bay will put points on the board. And the best way to prevent them from putting points on the board is execution in your individual battle. So as far as the Giants' defense goes, as long as they execute, they stay aggressive, those plays and those hits on the quarterback are eventually going to pile up.
201-939-4513. All right, Lance, we picked games on Monday night last week with the two games, and you have an early lead. You went 2-0. I went 1-1. Of course, I decided to take a little bit of a chance on one of my picks. Lance going with the favorites as usual, trying to take the easy way out, which is typical of Lance.
Man. Wow, the excuse is starting early.
No,
amazing.
I'm just saying,
it's all right. Don't worry about it. It's okay.
All right, so Lance with the early one-game lead here in that little pick competition. I, of course, had a dominating year one victory over the course of the year last year.
Coasted what was it, a two-game edge? That's what the victory was?
It never felt that
huge
close
margin
to me, Lance.
Yes, I know. I was trying to ride your coattails the whole way.
Right.
I barely hung on.
The rules are the same. We pick all three division games. We don't pick the Giant game, obviously, but we pick all three division games. We each pick one upset special, and then each of us pick a wild card game. We're going to add a little thing into the mix now. We're also going to pick the Monday night game, since Lance and I host on Monday, so I'll put a little fun into the mix as well. All right, Lance, here we go. Let's start Redskins at Rams. I struggle with this game, you not so much.
I think the Redskins are certainly going to cruise to victory in this game, and the reason is St. Louis's offensive line is banged up, and if your offensive line is banged up, normally your running game is going to struggle, and if Steven Jackson can't take pressure off of Sam Bradford, I think it's going to be a long day for the Rams. This Redskins defense, yes, it gave up 32 points to the Saints, but for the most part, let's not forget, it flustered Drew Brees and company. He had under 50% in terms of his completions for the first time in a real long time. Secondary, I think, needs to make improvements, but overall, I think Washington's defense and RG3 will be able to control the tempo, so I like the Redskins in this game.
Look, I think the Redskins defense is solid Minnesota was solid last year. But for their offense, this is a show-me game. You already, you know, you did it against the Saints. That's great, but it's only one game. Let's see RG3 and Alfred Morris and the rest of this Redskin offense do it again. I want to see it again. And the
but
Rams,
they don't need to put up 40 points again.
And the Rams, despite the fact they lost in week number one, I thought played a very good game. They played strong, and it looked like Jeff Fisher had a pretty big impact on that team, and it looks like they're improved, which is why I really thought about picking the Rams here at home. However,
go with the first gut.
I'm going to have to go with the Redskins and go with Lance here. I'm going to have to go with the Skins, but I think this is going to be a very hard-fought, tight game. Jeff Fisher is a good coach, and I think he's kind of teaching the Rams how to win football games. So I think this could be a real tight one and a tough one for the Redskins. And a trap game, a potential letdown after a big win against New Orleans, last week.
Rams defense picked off Matthew Stafford three times last week. The secondary certainly brought its A game. At the end of the day, can they do that again? And also, remember, Matthew Stafford is not a mobile quarterback. RG3 is. That's also going to be a new test for the Rams defense.
Game number two, and this is an interesting one. The Ravens and the Eagles, the battle of the birds. The Eagles, obviously, with a less than impressive win against the Cleveland Browns last week. The Ravens, with their new no-huddle offensive attack, had an impressive win in week number one. They beat the Baltimore. They beat the Cincinnati Bengals on one of those Monday night games, which didn't interest me. But what do you think about this one, Lance?
I think the Ravens' offense proved a lot. The offense and the defense is almost at the point where they're balancing one another out, and that makes them an extremely dangerous team. And, you know, my faith in the Eagles is limited somewhat until, you know, they put together a consistent game through all four quarters. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily basically them just not carrying out the game plan. To me, it had a lot to do with Michael Vick's decision-making. If you look back at a lot of his interceptions, he was trying to force it into double coverage. And at the end of the day, give credit to the Browns, they made plays. So, you know, Baltimore, to me, is the more complete team, and that's why I'm going to side with the Ravens.
All right, I think that's fair. I think the Eagles bounce back and they play a much better game. I'm worried about the two wide receivers on the injury report, DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin. I think that could be an issue, but I don't think the Bengals are going to be a very good team this year. I think they're going to have it down here. So I'm not going to take that much out of that week one win for the Ravens, having beaten Cincinnati like that. So I think the Eagles bounce back. I don't think the Ravens are quite as good as other people think. I think Joe Flacco is going to have an awful hard time moving the ball against that Eagles secondary. I'm not impressed by the Baltimore Raven wide receivers. And it's going to come down to Ray Rice. If Ray Rice can dominate the Eagles up the middle and with the run game, then, yeah, the Ravens will probably win. But I think the Eagles' run defense has improved based on their offseason moves, and I think Michael Vick will clean it up a little bit. And with no Terrell Suggs there, I don't think the Ravens' defense is going to be quite as good as it was last year either. So I'm going to go with the Eagles in this game. I think they start the year.
So you're saying the Ravens' defense, with them succeeding last week, more of a reflection of the Bengals' offense and the fact that they're going to struggle this season?
I think
you're
both
not buying the Ravens' D at this
point. I think both sides of the ball, Ravens' offense and defense. I don't think they're a bad team, but I think, let me put it this way. I think the Ravens played better than they will all season last week, and I think the Eagles played worse than they will all season last week. So I think those two things will kind of balance themselves out a little bit in week number two. Cowboys and Seahawks, I think we're in agreement here, despite the fact it's in Seattle, a very difficult place to play. Both of us like Dallas. The reason I'm picking Dallas is I think Russell Wilson will have a very difficult time with a very confusing Rob Ryan defense that blitzes a lot. He'll put pressure on the quarterback. The Cowboys, with the improved secondary, I think they'll get a few picks in this game. I think the Seahawks have a lot of trouble scoring points. I think their defense will do a decent job against the Cowboys, but I see the Cowboys win this game 24-10, 21-7, something like that.
Yeah, I think you hit all the main points. Seattle's defense is no joke. They certainly improved. Pete Carroll invested a lot of youth in this defense, so I think that, you know, it's not necessarily going to be a walk in the park for the Cowboys offense, but at the end of the day, you know, Russell Wilson struggled at times with the Cardinals defense, and the Cowboys defense is certainly a step up. So I think that Dallas is going to wreak havoc on Wilson with those pressure packages, and the secondary, the Giants know that very well, took a step in the right direction last week. So the Cowboys certainly are in a good position to improve to 2-0 at this point.
All right, Lance, we're going to move on now. What is your upset special?
Upset special is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs knocking off the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo.
And we're in agreement on this.
And it's because there's basically limited choices. I'm not necessarily loving this pick. I think Buffalo is going to bounce back.
I disagree. I think I would be very worried about the Bills right now. And I think that, for me, is a reflection about Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm not sure how much he can sustain that good play from the first 8 to 10 weeks of last year. I know he had a shoulder injury to close out the year, but I'd be very worried about the Bills right now if I'm a Bills fan.
You wonder, though, if C.J. Spiller's going to give them something new, the fact that he's a different style running back than Fred Jackson.
He started the last six games last year, and they couldn't win.
I just think that the Bills have a lot of talent on defense.
But
at
you're
least,
picking the Chiefs.
Plays. I am picking the Chiefs. Well, I think Kansas City, you know, is also looking for a bounce back after they got decimated by Atlanta. That's why I'm not really loving the Chiefs, because the defense, which I thought was going to be a strength for them this season.
Lost Brandon Carr.
But they still got Flowers in the mix, who I think is another solid corner. Tom Bahali's coming back from his suspension.
Big shot, a guy like Lance Meadow likes Brandon Flowers. Shocking.
Yes, I know. Well, we don't pick guys based on names here, all right? I mean, we put a little bit more effort into whether or not we like a player or a team based on their performance. And I think Kansas City, because Buffalo still has a lot to prove, they'll be able to squeak this one out. But this is not going to be a pretty game. Make no mistake about
that. No, I agree. And I don't love this game either, but I'll take the Chiefs to beat the Bills. I would have picked the Titans to beat San Diego. I like Tennessee at home. I think they're an improving team. But that locker injury has me a little bit nervous. And the Chargers, you know, they're kind of off and on. They weren't super impressive in their win against the Raiders last Monday night, in my opinion. So I think the Titans. In fact, you know what? I'm going to give you the double upset special. The heck with it.
Boy, you're
double
really
upset special
it.
At a Schmelk.
You just want to get the early season edge so
hold on,
desperately.
Hold on. It's
that you are trying to change things up as best as possible.
That is a load of garbage. All right,
then you try to explain it to me from another perspective.
You're picking upset specials. These are games, there's probably less than a 50% chance you're going to win it because it's an upset. And I'm pulling another one out there because I have so much confidence in my selection.
Now, clarify this.
It's good to have somebody with some guts on this show.
Are you switching picks or are you just adding another game?
Just adding another game.
Then the records are going to be unbalanced.
That's fine. You go by winning percentage. I did this all year last year. I add games here and there.
Boy, this is really... I mean, this is a huge stretch.
I'm showing some guts.
I mean, you are digging real deep. It's not guts. It's just trying to be creative.
Why is he so upset about this? I don't understand.
Too bad there's not two Monday night games this week for you to choose two, you know, just so you can maybe add a little bit more to the pod.
You done?
I'm done.
All right. What's your wild card game?
Wild card game is the Steelers over the Jets. Listen, the Jets were impressive last week. I'm not taking anything away from them, but let's put things in perspective. It was against a Buffalo defense that had a rookie corner against a rookie wide receiver, and Stephen Hill embarrassed Stephon Gilmore. At the end of the day,
I like Stephen Hill, by the way. He can be a good down-the-field receiver in his first year, a good deep threat.
Assuming Mark Sanchez has time to throw the football down
the
field.
Which he did last week.
He did, but I think that Pittsburgh's going to present a completely different challenge. Just like you mentioned, Rob Ryan's defense can cause havoc for Russell Wilson. Let's see what now Dick LeBeau's defense can do to this Jets offense that is on a real high. They are very good at stopping the run, and they are very good at disrupting the quarterback. They didn't necessarily succeed in those two departments against the Broncos, but you could certainly make an argument that the Broncos are better off than the Jets are, at least on paper. I like the Steelers' defense. Harrison's probably not going to play, but they're going to get Ryan Clark back. That should bolster the secondary. Look for the Steelers to have a huge bounce-back game at home against the Jets. Pittsburgh does not want to start this season off 0-2.
I think the Jets are actually going to have another good game. It's going to be a tough game to win against the Steelers, who I think are a more talented football team. So I think your selection will in the end be right. But I think the Jets, and I'm not that impressed with the Steelers, you should, to be honest with you. I think the Steelers are going to have a down year. I don't think they might not even make the playoffs this year, to be honest with you.
And that wouldn't stun me, but the answer to this question still lies in the Jets. Are you buying or selling the Jets at this point? That's the big question. It's not so much about the Steelers, because even the Steelers at 50% strength, I still think could beat this Jets
team. Observing the Jets. I'm not buying or selling yet. I'm not ready to buy or sell
yet. You're in
the
honeymoon period.
No, there's no honeymoon. I'm just not sure yet. It's the same thing like the Ravens, like I talked about. I'm not sure about them yet. And I'm still trying to figure out the Rams. There's a lot of it. It's only 1 week. I'm still trying to figure out a lot of these teams out. And the Jets are one of the teams that I'm not sure about yet. Is it the Bills are that bad, or are the Jets really pretty decent?
So why don't we just pick up the pick segment in, like, week 9 when you have a better grasp of the NFL? How about that? Is that fair? Is that valid enough?
All right. My wild card team, I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers against the Detroit Lions. I'm going to pick the 49ers in that game. I think the Lions are going to have a bad year this year. And going into San Francisco, I think that pass rush will flummox Matt Stafford. I think they'll lock down Calvin Johnson. They'll throw a lot of safety over the top on him. They'll double team him the whole game. And I think the 49ers will buy a couple touchdowns.
I think the Niners are the strongest team in the NFC right now. And I know it's one game, And I know John is still indecisive
in
that department.
No. The 49ers,
this one you're okay. Oh, so you don't need to see two or three more games.
I've seen enough of them.
Congratulations. We're making progress here in the span of 5 minutes.
I've seen enough on them.
But the Niners, to me, are the most complete team in the NFC. And that is the team to certainly beat at this point. I think it said a lot about how they performed against the Green Bay Packers. They're going to get another tough test in terms of the Detroit Lions because, you know, regardless of how the Lions struggled, they still have a very talented offense. Sure. And their defense is no joke. If they shut down Detroit like they did Green Bay, watch out for the San Francisco Niners this season.
All right, Lance, final thoughts. Giants and Bucks coming your way in just 2 days at MetLife Stadium. Giants trying to get their first win of the year.
Well, I'm going to emphasize a point that you alluded to and touched on heavily at the beginning of the show. You know, the priority number one, and this went back to last week, if you take away DeMarco Murray from the Cowboys' game plan, that changes things for Tony Romo last week.
You're still on the Cowboys here? We're talking about the Bucks.
Well, I'm drawing parallels here.
Okay.
Okay, I'm building the bridge, as we like to do here. All right?
Nice.
From one game to the other. Doug Martin is the focal point of this offense. 24 carries, 95 yards last week. And you know what? It's not about how effective he is as a running back and his style. If you're Tampa Bay at this point, you want to win time of possession. It's simple. That's what the Cowboys did effectively. They were on the field a lot more than the Giants were. And if Tampa Bay can run the ball, they're not going to look for the home run. They're going to look to wear down the Giants' defense, use the clock, and keep Eli Manning on the sidelines. Because at the end of the day, sometimes the best defense is when the opposing quarterback is not even having an opportunity on the field. So they're going to milk their running back. They're going to look to make it as easy as possible on Josh Freeman. If they can do that and their defense can play even 60% of what they performed against Cam Newton, that's going to be a recipe for them to pull out a victory on the road. So that's why it's important for the Giants to limit Doug Martin's ability and also get them three and out constantly. Get the ball back into Eli Manning's hands. Tampa Bay's defense looked real sharp, but you know what? Cam Newton threw for over 300 yards. That means that Eli Manning should be able to have some success in this game.
All right, I'm going to build a bridge from your point to my point. And once the Giants do stop the run, they have to get pressure on Josh Freeman. They had no pressure on the quarterback last week. So, again, I agree. Stopping the run is the number one priority. Once you do, though, and Josh Freeman has to get into third and longs, you got to rush the passer. You got to make him uncomfortable. You got to make him rush and force some throws, get some picks, get some turnovers. And that's all she wrote for Big Blue.
I can't build any more bridges. I'm out of that.
Are you growing some like 90210 sideburns there? Is that what I'm seeing? What is that?
What is this? We're describing now. We're running out of topics.
I just noticed it.
90210 sideburns. Yeah, the '90s pop culture references.
It is very
that
like
you made.
Dylan McKay-esque going on right now.
We take pride in the sideburns.
He is other people growing take some 90210 sideburns. Look how excited he is.
I got a newsflash for you. I've had these sideburns, you know, for the last couple of weeks.
No, you have
not paid much attention.
If you've been growing those for a couple of weeks, that's a problem. They are very impressive.
Well, we tweaked them over the last couple of days. I'm sure the audience is finding so much joy in learning about my sideburns.
I can't imagine anything they want to hear more about, to be honest with you.
And we will certainly continue to pick up the conversation on facial hair, since that is...
Apparently, facial hair is a big topic on
that New York Times article.
I do.
I'm going to give it to you. I have it on me.
Apparently, facial hair was a big topic on today's show.
It was.
All right, and you will, by the way, be on what, 12:30 on Sunday afternoon?
12:30 Sunday, half hour before kickoff.
So check it out, Denise, with your post-game as well. Take your calls right here on Giants.com on the interactive game feed. Make sure you check that out. And, of course, Lance and I will be back on Monday morning to recap Giants and Bucks, and we'll take your calls same time, same place. Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Angie Mark, comes your way every Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10:30 right here on Giants.com. Next week's schedule is screwed up again because of the dopey football schedule. Lance and I will be with you Monday and Tuesday. Marks and Dottino on Wednesday. Lance and Marks on Thursday. Lance and Marks on Friday. So that's how next week's going to go. Make sure you check it out right here on Giants.com. I'm sleeping in Friday. So you will not get a chippy John Schmelk coming off of a 5 a.m. flight.
That's somewhat disappointing, I'll be honest. I always look forward to the Ramsey's Barden calls on the Friday after a game. I guess Devin and George will have to wait till the following week to get your little work done.
All right, Lance. We'll see you tomorrow. See
Sounds
you on
good.
Sunday
have
afternoon. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time right here on Giants.com.